get connected with nature, which I've always wanted to be connected and helping with nature. With my ability, it's connected a whole lot of things that I've been involved with. I've been involved with the radio show with Charlotte for quite a while now, with her other pop-up shows. So I guess that's all what I have to say for now.
Sorry to interrupt. I know you're busy enjoying one of your favorite shows on CJSF, but it's your Sister C, your own Sister C, host of the Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon Saluwa show on Friday mornings every week at 10 o'clock. So I'm here with a very, 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 very full voice. Thank you for listening to CJSF. Okay, I want to say this is a marvelous May. We are talking about nature, welcoming you to share and feel your experiences of the good things that have happened in May, and how May, with its sweeping winds and beautiful sunsets, is just reminding us of places within our lives that we can let a little sunshine in and let a little sunshine out to help others. I'm going to read a poem that is kind of around the transitions and stages in a mother's life. Mother strong, mother soft. Mother strong and life embracing. Little love's legs and feet. Giving flight, giving light from dawn to dusk. Mother strong and life proclaiming. Little rules for life's upbringing. Quoting chapter, verse of scripture, hoping fertile seeds will follow. Mother strong in life rejoicing, pillows of love and laughter singing, cuddles, cuddles, chauffeured cars, hoping all will chow not spoil. Mother turning life unbending, little twinges, steps that falter, some days soaring, others dwindling, wondering if all is worth the kindling. Mother soft in life unraveling, seeds she sowed, gathering, searching, probing tendrils wrapping round her, hoping that their paths will praise her. And there's a activity called bonding with, or sending metta, sending love to trees. And I found a difference in some of my poetry by writing that next to a tree. Have either of you had an experience writing, sharing something close to a tree? You know, from our sit spot, some people have written poems by a sit spot. Do either of you want to explain what is a sit spot? Do we have a
I can explain what a sit spot is, but we've also learned that a sit spot doesn't necessarily have to be one location. It's a place where you enjoy just watching things, observing things over time, but it can be also an area where you have a variety of places where you explore and observe. You can do the experience by slowly walking or even sitting, but you continuously go there and find other things to explore. Would you say, Kim, that would be a good explanation?
Yes, absolutely, Punky. I just learned about the benefits of a sit spot through the teachings that Kari and Eco Wisdom, among so many other things. And what I learned about the sit spot is it really is a practice of just finding a place, like you said, Charlotte, maybe it's a special tree, or in my case, it's actually the waterfall and the fish in the pond in my backyard, where we can sit quietly in the outdoors and better connect with the natural world. It helps me to find a state of relaxation and really improves my sense of well-being and connection with nature. I often go there just to take a few minutes out of my day. You don't always need to sit for 15 minutes. It's whatever you have time for. You know, even 30 seconds, 1 minute is better than no minutes a lot of times. And sometimes I'll just take a few moments out of my day to go sit by the pond where it's really quiet, watch the fish. And the sit spot, I feel so connected. There's a huge tree, cedar tree behind us, especially with all the flowers being in bloom right now, the azaleas, the rhododendrons, even the nice smell of the grass, just even watching my strawberries as they're growing. It's so neat this time of year. Even you can go to the same sit spot and find that it changes throughout the year, throughout the different seasons, and it's never the same twice, and there's never the same beings there that there are. We've got a beautiful big, a few other big trees in the backyard, and often I'll be able to say hi to my other friends. There's squirrels and just birds. We live next to a bird sanctuary. It's just a lovely place to really connect and just connect with nature, connect with yourself, and just feel a sense of relaxation. And for me, it's also just a sense of peace and joy, really.
You know, one of the things I'm happy about is through radio, I was able to hear about eco-wisdom. And this thing about a sit spot, I said, what in the world is it? And then with nature, I thought it meant I would have to find some place, like go to Van Dusen Gardens or go to the Queen Elizabeth or go somewhere, go to North Van and find this place. And to my surprise, just that thing within you where you want to settle down and have peace, if you're in a park, if you're in a backyard, that even where there might still be buses on the street, if you find this place that you take time to sit and then you notice what's there, there might be dogs. I saw a squirrel. I saw a baby squirrel, but it was only because I was thinking about, well, what is there within 10 minutes of my where I live? Walking the 10 minutes is helpful because we know 15 to 20 minutes of walking is good for our circulation, helps us to, you know, we're talking about marvelous May, to have an enjoyment of this marvelous shift in the weather by walking, not just staying in the environment of a car, staying in the environment of a house or a game, but getting out. And so what I noticed being close to this tree that was in front of a very busy apartment building, just sitting there waiting, I noticed up at the, how many things the tree was sheltering. Up at the top, there was obviously a mother bird because she got up and she's fussing at everybody, like, stay off, back off, get away. And then down on another level, there was a bird working on something. It was just shaking, shaking, shaking. Maybe it was trying to shake something to the people below or just shaking for attention. And then I noticed the gnarls. At one point coming out of the building, I thought, what an ugly tree, because there were these big bumps along the way. Now I recognize those are roots. The roots are finding no places to water, which might be a problem for some of you if those roots come up through your, into your house. But feet, it was like, wow, this tree is supporting all these things because these roots run along. And it just took my mind into seeing the interdependence and feeling about how we're connected. So sitting there, 10 minutes, it gives you a chance to just think about how you're breathing, or to just breathe.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Today you're going to hear phenomenal leaders, developers in the nature and forest medicine world, the co-founder and director of Eco Wisdom, Dr. Carrie Crow, and our special guest, Carolyn Crowley, who is an acclaimed nature health expert on nature and forest therapy, who will share expert opinions and overviews on cultural appropriateness and the importance of Indigenous inclusion. We are lavishing a banquet of delectable information. And so without further ado, I'm going to have Dr. Carrie introduce others that are here in this conversation. Eco-wisdom is conversations about something that is being popularized, but people don't know the depths of. So we are going to go into helping you know and understand more about what nature and forest healing is about.
Thank you, Charlotte. And I want to say that I am so excited to have Carolyn join us today. Thank you so much, Carolyn, for being here with us. What a pleasure it was to have you come and speak to our group of trainees as nature and forest therapy guides. And it really resonated deeply. So now here we are able to spend this time with you again. So we are so pleased, as I said, to have Carolyn here. And I want to pass it over to her so she can actually introduce herself, because she's been involved in so many amazing projects doing such important work. Carolyn, welcome.
Hi, Carrie. Hi, everyone. And thank you for the invitation to share with everybody today. So my name is Carolyn Crawley. My pronouns are she and her. I was born in Mi'kma'ki territory, which is also known today as Nova Scotia. But I live in Toronto. And so Toronto, or Takaronto, has been my home since a young child. So I've been here for 50 years. My ancestry, I'm Mi'kmaq, Black, and Irish. And so I was very thankful that I had the opportunity to grow up with a deep relationship with the land, and those teachings of having a relationship filled with respect and gratitude for all that creation offers us in our day-to-day life was nurtured in me as a young child. And so I operate a business called Missanokama, and that translates from Mi'kma'ki to English to all my relations. And what that is referencing is all of our relatives that are not just human relatives, but thinking beyond the human world. And so looking at our relationships with the stones or the mineral family, looking at our relationship with the plants relatives, as well as the animal relatives, and seeing them as part of our extended family. And so that concept, all my relations, is looking at all of these beings as part of family, and to treat them with the same respect and love and gratitude as we treat our human loved ones. So the work that I do focuses upon, I guess you could say reconciliation. This word reconciliation is a buzzword that's often spoken about that needs to happen with Canadians and Indigenous peoples, or the state and Indigenous peoples. But it's also important to note that reconciliation also needs to happen with the land, because the land has been and continues to be greatly harmed. And so I say reconciliation because when we really look at that definition of the word reconciliation, it, when you look at the Webster Dictionary, it kind of speaks of restoring friendly relations. And if we look at history, and we look at the true history of what's known today as Canada, that friendly relations was a very short period of time in history. And so, but I also use that word reconciliation to put action into. So that's where people connect with the land, slow down, tune in through their senses. I share about the foods and medicines growing. And it's important to know that, the work that I'm doing is creating that opportunity for people to return home to that relationship, because all of our ancestors at one time and place throughout history were in a deeper, more meaningful relationship with nature or with creation that was culturally specific and unique to where people were located. But throughout history, people, many peoples have been violently severed from us. So that's a little bit about the work I do, other than, other kind of conservation stewardship programming that I do, and starting that with turtle protectors, Michigan Gajajuan, which is an initiative that I started with somebody in the park where I'm living to support those turtle relatives.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for introducing us to the wonderful work that you're doing. And you'll notice, our listeners will notice that we have Laurel Goodings with us as well. She's the creative director for Eco Wisdom and a nature and forest therapy guide. And we also have Kim Dunlop, who is a leader of our mentors. And She's also a nature and forest therapy guide certified with EcoWisdom. So you'll hear people popping in and out of conversation here as we explore some interesting ideas. I thought, maybe we could put our conversation in the context of what EcoWisdom is doing. Does that make sense, Charlotte?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so EcoWisdom is taking a sort of a somewhat unique approach to nature and forest therapy in that we're really interested in inclusion and accessibility. And most of our guides and trainers, including myself, we have lived experience with disability or chronic illness. And so we have not been prominent in the vision of many members of society when they think about nature. And when they think about nature guiding or nature therapy, especially providing the nature therapy, maybe as recipients of nature therapy. But we flipped that around and we have really skilled people like Kim and Laurel here who bring their expertise and their background and their knowledge and their life experience. To guiding groups of people. And so we are heavily immersed in the disability sort of realm and thinking about inclusion and expanding that circle and challenging ourselves to expand that circle in with the same kind of respect that we want as people with disabilities. And so we have, we have guides who are gender diverse. We have guides who are diverse in many, many different ways. And we are constantly challenged to think about how do we offer this training? How do we offer our programs in a way that is accessible, inclusive, respectful, compassionate, and ultimately, the work that we do with EcoWisdom is tied to the land. So EcoWisdom is run out of the EcoWisdom Forest Preserve, which is where my partner Dave and I live off-grid. And we live in what I refer to sometimes as beautiful, but sometimes inconvenient ways, where we are melting the snow to get the water for a water source in the winter, for example. But it is our honor and our pleasure to do this as part of us working through our reciprocal relationship with this land that has provided me personally with so much healing, so much accompaniment, so much comfort when I need it most and when I continue to need it most. And ongoing, it's so generous, the land. And we live with the animals. So we have wild roaming moose and wolves and deer. And yeah, we've got some new birds that came this morning. Anyway, so we're living where they have allowed us to occupy this land with them. And so we're using the solar panels to power our computers to like run these programs that are sometimes often virtual, whether it's training or programming. And we come back to and we incorporate ritual that's on this land. So we'll have the fire going, for example, at the end of a program and let people just sort of absorb this land virtually. So I just wanted to sort of put that out there as the context for our conversation. And this is why, I mean, I'm just so thrilled to have Carolyn come and be part of this work that we're trying to do to understand equity, inclusion, reconciliation, how we can take these steps forward. So I just wanted to open it up and sort of see if anybody wanted to say anything about the sort of somewhat different way that we're approaching nature and forest therapy. It is different in terms of what's out there. And just anybody want to jump in?
I figured talking about is another I inclusiveness. The show, this podcast series, Echo Wisdom Conversations, is being hosted by the program Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon at CJSF. And at CJSF Simon Fraser, the campus is on a mountain and there are many trails. One day I was waiting for the bus and I saw a sign that said something about bears, and I showed was talking to my brother and he said, "Girl, you better get out of there. They got bears up there running around." But we haven't had any incidences of bears attacking you and Dave in the preserve area. And I think a different conversation too, when we talk inclusiveness and people with disabilities, but also intergenerational. Many colleges are now talking about neuroscience and brain plasticity. So I was really excited when I was telling someone about Eco Wisdom being aired on CJSF. They said, "Oh, you talk about brain plasticity, how things change connections. This group really gives an opportunity in its conversations to connect. So much works to talk about the differences in Gen X or this generation versus the other. But we've been able to see with the way that the presentations are made in the park, some of the, maybe you could talk a little bit about some of the ways progress that you've had with the parks, doing things to make the parks more accessible. So again, it's intergenerational and it's something that helps connect to the tax dollars we pay. But could you mention a little bit about this inclusiveness going beyond just for seniors or for people that have lived experience of disability, how it helps even the caregivers? A lot of people, when people are discharged from, I get emotional about this, but post-surgery, I happened to sit in a hospital where six different teams of doctors after surgery came up to the people and said, they're going to have lots, they're going to have to tough out months of pain, and there's going to be, all they talked about was the pain. So I think these conversations give an opportunity to talk about some of the specific things that you learned as guides that help people to have a choice beyond these physical and addictive medicines is the only way to deal with disabilities and pain. So,
Kim. You know, one thing that comes to mind, Charlotte, is that we're flipping things around in that we're seeing ourselves as people with disabilities with capacity, and we're opening our hearts to all of the benefits of connecting with nature. And so we use nature and form therapy guide often peer support. Leading to people with chronic illness, people with disabilities, as somebody else is the expert who's gonna fix our relationships as reflect nature. Nature is diverse. Nature is adapting. We are diverse. And we need to learn from nature to accept ourselves. And so it all comes back to the land. But we are, when we think about these medical systems and stuff like that, and you know, there's a long history. And it's not that medicine doesn't have a role. It's when that becomes the dominant way of being in the world and society, it becomes problematic, right? So we need to understand where power lies, and we are introducing this new approach where we have guides who have personal experience with chronic illness or disabilities so that they can model and demonstrate and facilitate deep conversations about inclusion and belonging. And that's, I think those are some really big themes that came out of the research, right? Right, Kim?
Definitely. That was a huge theme in all of the research that we've done so far. And I know personally, when I think about what I've learned from EcoWisdom, from our wonderful guides and teachers, and from all the people that all our peers, when I'm in nature, I forget about the labels. I forget about, things slough off, and I feel more connected than I've ever been in my life. You know, it's a huge gift, just a huge gift. And to be able to share that with others is such a blessing. And it's so individual. That's the other part, is learning how to just sit back and listen is an enormous, enormous part of the program, part of learning reciprocal relationships. Just seeing that every single person is such an individual, and every person, every piece of plant and nature brings so much. It's just this enormous, phenomenal gift if we open up. When we open up.
Yeah. And I think this is where that neuroscience piece comes in that Charlotte was referring to. We talk a bit about, because my background is in psychology and neurology, I reference a little bit about that. There are ways, neural pathways we can open through practices, right? But when we, and sometimes people need to hear that, but other people, it's more of a other, once they have the direct experience in our programming, then something goes click. And they're like, this is what I need in my life. But for some people, they want to hear the neuroscience piece of it. But in other situations, other settings, we don't go there. But there are these, really what we're doing is we're learning to be still. And when we learn to be still, we learn to be receptive. And when we learn to be receptive, we have this incredible, we receive. And then we have, and it just automatically leads to this tremendous gratitude, right? And as part of that, for people who have disabilities, who have been rejected and told that we're broken and this and that and we don't fit, I've just heard just in the last week two stories of people trying to get employment, situations, and it's like, you don't fit our box, therefore you can't fit. Like, go. We're not going to adjust our box size. Forget it. Anyway, so given that context, it's such a gift to know that we belong, that we're okay, and that our relationship with nature can sustain us.
This is Charlotte Ferrer, your own Sister C, and I want to thank you for sticking with us for the last week of May. Thank you for the calls. Thank you for saying how much you appreciated having gratitude, an imaginary backyard buffet. I hope it's given you some things that it will carry you through the summer and spark your imagination. You're welcome to send me an email at imsistac@gmail.com. Let me know if you are a person who would like to share your creativity. Let me know if that there are other artists that you would like to hear us play on the show. We, as you know, are a place where independent musicians, new writers, have an opportunity to get on, share their passion, their projects, and they don't have to pay anybody to get on. So I just am going to say, you know what I say when they ask me what time it is? You know it is always love time, poem time. See you again next time. Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love. Wash the wounds, bind the lashes, and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Time for poems, poets, and singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time. Time for you to reveal to me. Unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time, times for for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, times for words to wash the wound behind the lashes and play bassoon.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.